A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy. Preface. A violet in the youth of primy nature, forward, not permanent, sweet, not lasting, the perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more. The following chapters were written at a time when the craze for indiscriminate church restoration had just reached the remotest nooks of Western England, where the wild and tragic features of the coast had long combined in perfect harmony with the crude Gothic art of the ecclesiastical buildings scattered along it, throwing into extraordinary discord all architectural attempts at newness there. To restore the grey carcasses of a medievalism whose spirit had fled seemed a not less incongruous act than to set about renovating the adjoining crags themselves. Hence it happened that an imaginary history of three human hearts, whose emotions were not without correspondence with these material circumstances, found in the ordinary incidents of such church renovations a fitting frame for its presentation. The shore and country about Castle Boterel is now getting well known and will be readily recognized. The spot is, I may add, the furthest westward of all those convenient corners wherein I have ventured to erect my theatre for these imperfect little dramas of country life and passions, and it lies near to, or no great way beyond, the vague border of the Wessex kingdom on that side, which, like the westering verge of modern American settlements, was progressive and uncertain. This, however, is of little importance. The place is preeminently, for one person at least, the region of dream and mystery. The ghostly birds, the pall-like sea, the frothy wind, the eternal soliloquy of the waters, the bloom of dark purple cast that seems to exhale from the shoreward precipices, in themselves lend to the scene an atmosphere like the twilight of a night vision. One enormous seaboard cliff in particular figures in the narrative, and for some forgotten reason or other this cliff was described in the story as being without a name. Accuracy would require the statement to be that a remarkable cliff which resembles in many points the cliff of the description bears a name that no event has made famous. T.H. March 1899. The persons: Elfrida Swancourt, a young lady; Christopher Swancourt, a clergyman; Stephen Smith, an architect; Henry Knight, a reviewer and essayist; Charlotte Troyton, a rich widow; Gertrude Jethway, a poor widow; Spencer Hugo Luxellian, a peer; Lady Luxellian, his wife; Mary and Kate, two little girls; William Worm, a dazed factotum; John Smith, a master mason; Jane Smith, his wife; Martin Canister, a sexton; Unity, a maid servant; other servants, masons, labourers, grooms, nondescripts, etc., etc. The scene, mostly on the outskirts of Lower Wessex. End of preface. A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy. Chapter 1. A Fair Vestal Throned in the West. Elfrida Swancourt was a girl whose emotions lay very near the surface. Their nature more precisely, and as modified by the creeping hours of time, was known only to those who watched the circumstances of her history. Personally, she was the combination of very interesting particulars, whose rarity, however, lay in the combination itself, rather than in the individual elements combined. As a matter of fact, you did not see the form and substance of her features when conversing with her, and this charming power of preventing a material study of her lineaments by an interlocutor originated not in the cloaking effect of a well-formed manner, for her manner was childish and scarcely formed, but in the attractive crudeness of the remarks themselves. She had lived all her life in retirement, and a monstrari digito of idle men had not flattered her, and at the age of 19 or 20 she was no further on in social consciousness than an urban young lady of 15. One point in her, however, you did notice. That was her eyes. In them was seen a sublimation of all of her. It was not necessary to look further. There she lived. These eyes were blue.